Hallelujah. Christ arose. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John, John chapter 20. So we have John's Holy Spirit-inspired account of the resurrection morning, here in John chapter 20. Going to be reading together the first 18 verses. John 20, this is the Word of God. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open here to John 20. We'll take verse 17 as our text this morning. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have this scene before our eyes in light of this reading, maybe you have the same sort of sense of pathos. There is something that is so beautiful about the picture that we see here. Something that is so heart-wrenching. You have the picture of Jesus standing there and Mary Magdalene clinging to his legs, not letting him go. Something very beautiful about this picture. It bespeaks a sense of devotion that she has. It tells of the love that she has come to have for this Lord and Savior. They'd taken away my Lord, she had said to the angels. It tells us that she had come to know much blessing in fellowship with Him. And yet, from the way Jesus deals with her, not only is this a picture of pathos or of deep tenderness, it is something of a pathetic picture as well. Because, as we'll see together, there is something not right about the way that she clings to Jesus at this time. And so Jesus tells her to stop. Now, Jesus doesn't tell her to stop because she's a woman. Jesus doesn't tell her to stop because she is a tramp from Magdala, or that's what she might have been in the past. We don't know exactly what her past entailed, but we do know from Luke 8, the verses 1 through 3, that she was the one out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons. So she had lived quite a life. She had seen a lot. She had done a lot. And Jesus is not telling her, "Don't touch me," at this time, because Jesus wants to practice a form of physical distancing over against the likes of her. Jesus is actually teaching her something more glorious, something more rich, something beautiful. And we need to see that and appreciate that this morning. We need to understand Jesus is not giving her the brush off. Again, with the picture of Mary clinging to the legs of the Lord Jesus. Maybe in our own experience in these days, we have that sense of feeling a little bit claustrophobic when the kids are a little bit too close to us. Maybe you've had those circumstances where you have to go out of the house, you've got to go get some groceries, and the kids are just clinging to your legs because they want to come along. And you have to say, "No, you can't come." And you have to give the children the brush off. But Jesus is not giving her the brush off. Jesus is not saying, "Don't touch me because you're not worthy." Jesus is actually showing her, as we'll see together this morning, that something more beautiful is in the works. Jesus is not saying, "I don't have time for you because I have an ascension to accomplish. I have to go to my Father." Jesus is assuring her, "No, Mary, you're my sister. You're my sister." The Lord Jesus is speaking of a new intimacy that we may have with God because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. "You're my sister." So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to His Father and ours. That's what He's talking about. And by returning to His Father, the Lord Jesus Christ shows us that by His resurrection, He restores us to be children of the living God. And that's the blessing we need to know. That's the blessing the whole world around us that's living with the difficulty of isolation and alienation needs to know. That there is the blessing of an intimacy with God the Father that Jesus Christ has earned for us, that He's accomplished for us, that He has restored to us. So I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So I speak of the blessing that Jesus restores, the blessing of being children of God to us by His resurrection. He goes to His Father and ours. In the first place, we want to speak of the relationship that is restored. Notice how He speaks to her. Don't cling to me. Why? Verse 17, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But he says, go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now it's evident from the words that Jesus uses here that he would include her in the words that he's speaking. My Father and your Father, my God and your God. And as I mentioned, Mary Magdalene comes from a rough history. She has lived a very difficult life. She had been demon-possessed. And you could say that in and of herself, she was not at all worthy to be a child of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking these words to her that need to be passed through her as well to his disciples, are words of great encouragement, words of great hope and great blessing. I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Everything Jesus can say about going to his Father can be said now by Mary and by these disciples of his. They too, you have to appreciate, up until this point had shown themselves to be, you might say, a bunch of losers. In spite of Peter's boasting, you know, I'll stand by your side, I'll never betray you, I'll never deny you, I will stand with you even to the death. And it's just a few moments after that that Peter is denying the Lord Jesus Christ and runs away weeping. And the rest of the gospel accounts remind us as well that every one of his disciples forsook him and fled that night when he was led to the cross, that night that he was arrested to be led to the cross the next day. They all forsook him and fled. But Jesus says, you go to them and tell them, I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You see, Jesus is speaking to them of the wonder of his grace, the kindness that God has in the way of forgiveness. I think of the language of Hebrews chapter 2, where we have further reflection on this and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2 verse 11 says now about the likes of Mary and the 12 or the 11 remaining apostles, and of us, that he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And it goes on, quoting from the Old Testament words that prophesied of this, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. Those are words from Psalm 22 that began like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus says, I will declare your name to my brethren, because he knows. He's going to finish the work. He's done it. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children God has given to me. The point of Jesus going to the cross is that he would return again to his Father, and that he would bring us as his children with him, and we would be received as the dear children of our Heavenly Father. We have come to know, you might say, physically speaking, what it is to live in isolation and in alienation and in separation from God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to bring us home into fellowship with the Father. That's what his work is all about. That's what he has accomplished. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. And that's an amazing thing to think about. It would be an amazing thing for Mary to think about, an amazing thing for these apostles of his to have to think about, to get to think about. He receives us as though we were his own brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed to call us his brethren. After everything we've done, after all of our failings, all of our unworthiness. Again, I always think it's helpful for us to Think of that language of Hebrews 2, verse 11. He's not ashamed to call us his brethren, his brothers and sisters. In light of times, we have given cause to our own family members here on earth to be ashamed of us. Maybe you've had those situations as well where you were with your friends, boys and girls, and you were having a great time and your little brother or your little sister came along and messed everything up and just acted like a fool. And you were embarrassed and you wanted to say, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, just go away. Now if you think about our own lives or Mary of Magdalene's life and the life of Jesus' apostles, their cause for Jesus to be embarrassed or ashamed of them was far more serious than anything our little brothers or sisters have ever done. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Jesus has come to restore that relationship to us. Now, by nature, we see from the Bible, because of the fall into sin, we are by nature children of wrath. We've been serving various lusts and pleasures. That's our nature. That's where we were apart from God's grace. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But God in his mercy has come to make us alive, not children of wrath anymore, but children of the living God. And the reason the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been seeing in our study up until now, in his Father prayers on his way to the cross, the reason we may have this confidence of fellowship with God as our Father is because the Lord Jesus Christ, in the middle of his suffering on the cross, was once forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? He couldn't even dare to call him Father in the middle of the suffering. But because the work was finished, we saw last time that the end of his time on the cross, he's able to say, Father, again. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And because Jesus knows that he is the Son of his Father and will be received in love, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, so pleased. He also knows that he will take us. Here I am, Father, and all the children you have given me. And we can say, in restored relationship to our God and Father, what love, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. The blessing of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that we're restored. The Lord Jesus is the one the heavens must receive. And so we are called now to repent in this time of restoration, these times of renewal and refreshment by the grace of God. I want to go on in the second place and look as well at how this reality is revealed to Mary. How this reality is revealed. We see that initially she doesn't get it. She doesn't get it at all. She had gone there early in the morning, so early it was still dark. This might be 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. So devoted is she to this Jesus who has died. But you understand that what she's doing at this point is she's going to anoint the body or embalm the body, the dead body of her friend. She has no idea that she had come there to meet the risen Lord. She wasn't expecting that at all. So when she looks into the tomb, they ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And when they give their answer, then the Lord Jesus Christ comes and asks her the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" With tenderness and love, "Whom are you seeking?" And Jesus is opening the way for her to have her eyes open to the reality that Jesus is alive. As if to say by the question, if you knew who it was that you were speaking to, you wouldn't have to weep anymore. You'd have every reason to rejoice and to be glad. But at this point, she still supposes him to be a gardener. Sir, she says, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've taken him, where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. She was, you could say, facing in the wrong direction. The Lord Jesus Christ was right before her very eyes, but she doesn't see. She sees, but she doesn't see. Now, you could go on with regard to this. Some people have said, well, there must have been something different about his body. That's not the point. Sure, this is his glorified, resurrected body, but it is a physical body. This is not a mere apparition. This is not a dream. This is not a phantom. She clings to him. She won't let him go. This is a physical body. The Lord Jesus Christ is truly raised from the dead. The reason she doesn't see him doesn't have to do with his body. The reason that she's in a fog has to do with her own bewilderment, with her own inability to see, with her own need to have her eyes opened to behold the wonderful things that God has done in Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ simply speaks to her. He says, Mary. He calls her by name. And then she turns. And she says to him, Rabboni. A term of endearment. Effectively, it means teacher. There's still a lot for her to understand in terms of what's going on, but she understands it's him. And then you have this picture that she will cling to him and not let him go, so Jesus has to say, don't do that. Not here, not now. It's not about clinging to my physical body. It's not about clinging to the memory of how things used to be. There's more to come. It's better than you can imagine. So Jesus speaks her name. And she hears his voice. And she knows it's him. Maybe some of you this morning have come not expecting to see Jesus, not expecting to hear Jesus. But the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. And when you hear his voice, you follow him. Jesus has said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And by nature, we're all sort of turned inward as Mary was. By nature, we're all sort of in a fog. By nature, we're not able, not capable, not interested in hearing and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus says, hear him now. Come. Come unto me, all you who are weary. All of you who labor and are heavy laden. All of you who are burdened in your sin. All of you who have had enough with this sort of inward looking, thinking you'll accomplish it yourself, thinking you'll make well and everything is going to be okay by your own strength. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's what the Lord Jesus has promised. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ will do. That's what he does. He has called us to hear his voice. And we understand in the context of the words that we've talked about before of his first Father prayer, Father, I thank you. Matthew 11, verse 25, you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but you revealed them to babes. Babes, helpless ones, broken ones, weak ones, laboring ones, like Mary Magdalene. Her eyes are opened. And she follows the Lord Jesus. Rabboni, she says. And so I can encourage everyone who hears that Jesus calls out to us this morning and he says, come unto me. And Jesus has promised as well, John 6, verse 37, all those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus wasn't casting Mary aside. Jesus was showing her, there is something far richer than you just getting to touch my body. Jesus is saying, you get to know. The Father in heaven is your Father as he is my Father. He's your God as he is my God. That's rich. And he is the one who clings to you and will never, ever, ever let you go. So finally, this morning, I want to see that the Lord Jesus Christ then sends her off and gives her a great responsibility. Don't cling to me, or I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren. Say to them. Jesus is showing her, Mary, it's not just about you and me. It's not just about you having your own personal time with Jesus. It's about my glorious work in gathering a people, starting with my apostles who go to the ends of the earth. They need to be involved. You need to tell them. The church father Augustine said of Mary that she was the first apostle to the apostles. She was sent to the sent ones to bring this glorious good news. Jesus God and our God, Jesus Father and our Father. She tells the glad tidings. And how could she not? How could she not speak of the things that she's now come to see and hear and experience in her own life? How could she not speak of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus? And it's the same for us. We've come to know this blessing. We've come to know God receives us as children. We live in the care of our loving Father. How can we not go and tell the world? Jesus says, I have many sheep yet who've not yet heard. You go and tell them. Jesus has promised in the context of his praying, there are many yet in the world who will believe because of what we have said to them. That's what he's praying for. That's what he sends us to do. And Mary can also encourage the brethren as she encourages us. Jesus goes to ascend to his Father in heaven. What does that mean? That means the heavens will receive him to great accolades of praise. Blessed is the Lamb who was slain. To receive glory and wisdom and riches and power. The Lord Jesus Christ takes up the throne at the right hand of his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is ruling over everything for the good of his church. He's working all of these things in such a way that his church is going to be gathered and people who've been in darkness are going to have their eyes opened as Mary's were and come to this saving relationship to be able to call God Father by grace through faith. And because Jesus is in heaven, we also don't have to fear. Whatever it is, the Lord will bring us through, even if we get sick and die. We know that every moment, every step of the way, the Lord Jesus is caring for us and will provide for us. God the Father will provide out of the riches of Christ Jesus in glory for our every need. And it's going to be okay because we know him as our God and Father. We know that our times are in his hand. And we know that blessing because Jesus is truly risen. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Now recognize as well, just as we think about this in closing, Mary didn't find Jesus. He found her. Mary didn't earn her way into Jesus' fellowship as a dear sister who together would call God Father. It was all His grace. And that's an encouragement for every one of us, bearing the weight of our sin, the weight of the difficulties of the day, the concerns that we have. We've got nothing to give to Him. But we come as babes, as weak and helpless, as those who are blind naturally. As we come to Him, we recognize He finds us. And He blesses us. And He receives us. As many as come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise You for the love of our Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the tenderness and kindness You showed to Mary. And we thank You that we may know the same tenderness and kindness in Your dealings with us. We acknowledge that we are as blind as she was. We acknowledge we are as unworthy as she was, and we rejoice that You receive us in grace, that there is forgiveness with God because of You. And we thank You that as the heavens must receive Jesus as the dear Son of His Father, so we will all be received in grace because of Him as we come to You, Father, through Him. And so we pray, uphold and encourage us as we come as those who are weak and weary. And bless us in the knowledge that by God's grace we may say, You are our Father for Jesus' sake. You are our God. And You receive us in love. You delight in mercy. Jesus is risen so we can have peace with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.